Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
Hello and welcome to episode 82 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and we are continuing our BlizzCon special episodes this week. I hope you've enjoyed the extra content. I mean, we've done like 4 episodes in 1 week, which is kind of crazy for us, if you haven't noticed. But BlizzCon has just been so exciting, we just had to do it. So our next episode, which will be in 2 weeks, we'll get back to our regular format and kick off with another deck battle, which I'm super excited about. And we'll also talk about some of the more revealed cards from Mean Streets of Gadgetzan that week. So whether you went to BlizzCon last week, watched the live streams, or just heard about the big announcements afterwards, I hope you had as much fun as we did. I had a great time in the show. I got to meet up with a lot of great podcasters, devs, gamers, even ran into Ben Brode in the hallway, which was super fun because I didn't think he was going to be there. So thank you very much to the kind folks at Blizzard who helped me get into the convention at the last minute. That was really nice and awesome. Thank you very much. So, all right. So this episode is another BlizzCon special. On Thursday, the night before the convention officially started, I was on a Hearthstone panel at the Con Before the Storm, which is an awesome event that the World of Podcast folks and all the other people kind of associated with that host every single year at the Marriott, Hilton, whatever is right next door, to build the community and give the podcasters for each Blizzard game a chance to get together, talk about their favorite games for an hour, and then answer questions from the audience. So it's kind of like a communal podcast done live. It's really fun. So actually, if you're not already listening to Realm Maintenance, it's a podcast all about finding and celebrating other podcasts about Blizzard games. It was really cool. Like when I started making Happy Hearthstone, Ro, the creator, owner, runner of Realm Maintenance, made sure to get me on the show so he could share that my podcast existed with all the other podcasts. It really helped me kind of get off the ground. It's really cool. And he does that every week. He brings on a different host from a show and just helps you kind of find new podcasts about Blizzard games that you might like. And he talks about like, okay, what's your podcast like? Who might like it? That sort of stuff. So it's really just a nice way to get a sample of all the podcasts out there and pick the ones you want. So Ro is just a really nice guy. He puts in a ton of work every single week. I said he does these shows, right? Just to help build up the community, help other podcasters. It's a great way to find new shows. You should check it out. Realm Maintenance. All right. So I was joined on this panel by a lot of awesome, brilliant Hearthstone podcasters, more brilliant than me, if we're being honest, especially when it came to like esports, which was like a big topic for a lot of the panel. I felt kind of dumb half the time, but you should definitely check out their shows. You'll hear them on this panel. I think they kind of plug their shows as well. Garrett gave us a chance to, but I'll put links in the show notes so you can check them all out. Here they are. So the panel was hosted by Garrett from The Angry Chicken, and then Chris from Value Town was on the panel as well. And Espo from Legend of the Innkeeper, and Kevin from Well Met. So like I said, links will be in the show notes. All these guys were really nice. We met before and talked a little bit afterwards. Everyone was just super kind and happy to help put together this awesome panel. It was a lot of fun. So thanks to all of them, and especially Con Before the Storm for hosting the panel. But thanks to all the panelists for helping carry me through some awkward moments, especially the beginning. I got caught right off guard, or way off guard right off the bat. Garrett just immediately was like, Josh, tell me everything you think. And I was just not ready for it. So I start off awkward, but it gets better, I promise. So, all right, this intro is rambling way too hard. So let's just get to the show.
Welcome to the World of Podcasts 2016 Hearthstone panel. The following is a presentation of D20 Creative Alliance and Con Before the Storm. For more information, go to conbeforestorm.com.
Hello, Con Before the Storm. Or should I say, Well Met! Hello, everyone. I am Garrett Weinzerl, and I am surrounded today by way too many talented creators. And let me give them an introduction, some of which I have worked with before, some of which this is my first time ever doing a podcast with them. And it's awesome because I can touch them. I can get in their bubble. I'd like to introduce Josh Augustine from the Happy Hearthstone podcast. I'd like to introduce Chris. You may better know him as Chanman V from Value Town.
What's up, everybody?
To my left is Kevin Hovstad from Well Met. And on the far end, Thomas, better known as Espo from The Legend of the Innkeeper. So, gentlemen, it's been quite the year for Hearthstone. We've had ups, we've had downs. We all chose Tice and we're getting no cards now. But I don't know. What are our opinions of the development of Hearthstone over the course of 2016? It has been a very big year. It kicked off with a bang with Whispers of the Old Gods, with a standard format, you know, launching. But then we also got Karazhan, and the meta kind of took a halt. But I don't know. I'm going to pass it over to Josh because there's a lot of us here, so I'll do my best to direct it. Josh, what do you think of 2016 and Hearthstone so far?
Cool. I don't know. I'm having a blast. I think it's really fun. The two big things that I noticed this year that I really appreciated was, one, they started doing legendaries that aren't just like solid value like Dr. Boom. Like, so they went more with like Nazoth, where you have to build the whole deck around him. And I think that's a great change, because legendaries could still be really cool and really exciting, but it's not auto-include in every deck. So I mean, that's kind of the big picture change I've seen that's been really cool. I really liked it.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think following up on that, with the Old Gods release, that was probably the first release where we had very few cards that required, you know, building decks around. Because if you guys remember going into 2016, it was pretty stale. Like, it was very stagnant. We had the same types of decks, and everybody was, you know, anytime an expansion came out, we would have maybe three or four cards that were different, but it was pretty much the same decks. So when Old Gods came out, we introduced probably about six new types of decks, which is really, really amazing. And there are a lot, you know, like, if you read Reddit and whatnot, there's lots of, like, little complaints about certain cards like Purifier and whatnot. But overall, I think this year has actually been a pretty good success. And right now, the current meta, without the whole Shaman oppression that we're seeing, yeah, I actually think the meta is in a great state right now, and that has a lot to do with the cards they released.
Well, yeah, and think about where we're at now with the finals, and specifically Hamster. Would we all be as excited about Hamster if Priest wasn't the underdog that it is? I mean, the Cubs won two nights ago, guys. Would anyone have given a crap if it had been 100? It was 108 years since they won the World Series. They're not underdogs? What? Anyways, sorry. My wife is a Cubs fan. I apologize. But yeah, I think to a certain degree that even the things that some people perceive as negatives play into the overall story arc and play into the hype, the things that make us excited about Hearthstone.
Yeah, actually, if I could jump in one more time. Because Hamster playing Priest, that was so exciting. And the other big exciting kind of thing in esports recently was Frozen, where he took this totally new strategy where he built all of his decks to counter just Control Warrior. And just like you were saying, it's really cool to see stuff in the meta where you can take this stuff, even at the competitive level, and see something totally brand new that we haven't seen before.
No, you're absolutely right. Let's send it to the end of the table. Espo, how's your 2016 been as far as Hearthstone is concerned?
So any of you who've listened to Legend of Ian Cooper know that I guarantee fun. And what's really cool about this year has been, it feels like for us, Blizzard actually, I felt like they were more personable. And they listened and answered a lot more this year. And I don't know if it's because the game is in its adolescent years now, where they know more about it, we know more about it. I feel like they're answering our questions more, if that makes sense. I feel like they're listening to us, and we're getting more of the game that we want. Nerfs are coming out, and it's not such a big deal. Like, when the first nerfs came through, we all were like so surprised, like, oh my gosh, they're changing cards. Now they change cards and we're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like they're more in tune with us now, if that makes sense. And that makes me super happy.
Yeah, the year started off with a bang and a bunch of changes, and then it slowed down, and it's been like minor tweaks, incremental changes since then. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but it definitely leads to, I think, what we see on Reddit at times. When it gets too quiet, people come up with things to get angry about, and then, you know, Purify happens.
Or make
stuff
up
like
crazy
that.
Unicorn stories.
Sorry, what was that?
Or make up crazy unicorn stories.
Yes, you are right. You are right. But Kevin, you've been delightfully quiet.
Well, I'm just waiting my turn, right?
Oh, I know you've been polite.
I'm Canadian. I have to be. I'm contractually obligated.
Well, I mean, as someone who podcasts with a Canadian every week, that's sometimes true.
Jocelyn doesn't count.
Oh, is she really Canadian?
Fighting
wow.
Words.
She's not here, right?
Well, we'll see. If a pink blur comes up the stage and punches Kevin.
Then we'll know, yeah.
No, the Wrath of Jocelyn.
I mean, 2016 for me, I think back to when we were here last year and we got League of Explorers and the Hearthstone team said, we're going to do our own thing. We're going to try and actually take our story in Hearthstone and make it its own thing. And they started to navigate away. The lead up to Old Gods, they really did a phenomenal job of really getting it out there in front of not just Hearthstone fans, but the gaming community as a whole. And then the evolution that we've seen since then, Karazhan, throw the parties, get people really excited about the game, the communication has enormously improved. And I can say for a fact, personally, that I watch as they're making specific efforts to reach back out to Reddit, to people on Twitter, to just really actually try and be more available to the community, because I think now the game is mature enough that they don't feel like they're on the back foot, up against a wall, having to defend Hearthstone's existence. On the contrary, Hearthstone is arguably the most successful Blizzard franchise that exists right now, and now that they can really sit back and enjoy that, they can start to be more available to fans in the community.
Well, if I can add to that, I mean, one thing you have to remember with the Hearthstone team, guys, is that it was a tiny team. Like, it wasn't that long ago that this team was, what, like 12 members or something like that? Now it's, you know, close to 100 or maybe even more. And just like any other company or team, you know, it takes learning and figuring out how to communicate with your community and listening to them. And I mean, me and Garrett have definitely covered other Blizzard titles, and it's taken a long time, okay, for some other Blizzard titles to even figure it out. And they're much bigger. So, you know, it's just a natural thing. It's a natural thing for the Hearthstone team to go through these growing pains and learn from it. And I think we're in a great place. We're seeing these developer update videos. We're seeing Ixar posting blue posts all the time now. And a lot of those things are trying to remedy a lot of the issues that we see in the metagame and things like that.
Yeah, I completely agree. So on that note, why don't we talk about the changes that they just announced that will be happening to esports next year. And just open mic. And whoever wants to get in on this, I'm sure Kevin is... I can see your insides jumping inside.
I mean, we've talked about this a lot, and obviously, for anybody who followed HCT this year, I was pretty close to the fire on that one, so I have sort of a vested interest in where it's going. One of my friends, actually, just got hired as the esports project manager, who's doing a lot of that work, and it's really exciting because what they've learned, right, out of 2016 is enormous in terms of what the potential for 2017 looks like. You think back, right? Think back to 2015, and all the things people complain about. There's no storyline to follow. There's nothing to watch in the front half of the year. We're really struggling to understand how a new player is supposed to break out. 2016 solved all of those things, point by point. Every meaningful complaint in 2015 resolved by HCT. You look now at the things that people have identified as problematic in 2016, and the 2017 formula basically says, okay, we had the following issues, here's how we're going to correct all of them. It's not going to be perfect, it's going to continue to evolve, but I see absolutely nothing that doesn't make it look like 2017 will improve on 2016 in every noticeable way.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, and we're seeing it across all of the Blizzard titles for the most part. I think every Blizzard title now that has an esport will have teams from different regions meeting up multiple times a year as opposed to once at the end of the year, and I'm so excited about that because we get into those problems where it's like, oh, well, Europe's meta just trumps America's meta. I guess Europe wins.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue, right?
Yeah,
but
totally.
But at the same time, like Kevin said, if you compare 2016 to 2015, it is miles
leaps
beyond
and bounds.
Miles in quality. So that's the thing. So
you can't get to the perfect system in one step. Yeah. I mean,
I think there's
going to
be
really
one through line in this talk. It's that we understand why Reddit goes off on the tangents that Reddit goes off on, but maybe it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not warranted. Maybe at the volume.
What, Reddit said something that's not warranted?
That it's at. Because clearly they're making improvements, right? Like,
yeah.
And I don't think, in Reddit's favor, I don't think if people didn't care about the game that they would be getting up in arms in the way that they do.
Yeah. For me, I think the perfect system, or at least the system I really wanted to see in Hearthstone, has always been more of a majors type of feel, like something you would see in tennis, if you guys know sports and that and whatnot. And I think this new global season finals is going to be more like that, because like you guys said, we're going to be bringing in players, multiple players from all the regions, and then they're going to be competing in this tournament that's going to decide where a lot of the best players are going to be, instead of just having one champion, you know, and kind of having only this majors feel at BlizzCon. Like, we need to have it multiple times a year, and I think that's a really good thing. Also, one of the things that we had an issue with was just not having enough payouts that we even see the best players playing in the tournaments. Like, Life Coach, for instance, he's one of the best players in the world, and he's outright said that, you know, I'm not playing this because there's not a very good chance of me making money playing in this system. And I think what they're, you know, some of the changes that they have at least previewed so far is really addressing that.
Well, and one of the big things you have to bear in mind, because it's such an enormous departure from how they've done things in the past, is for the first time ever, Blizzard is going to move the Hearthstone World Championship off of BlizzCon. And I know a lot of people are like, whoa, like, that's a crazy thing. But I think you have to remember, of the Blizzard franchises, Hearthstone is the, I would argue, is the game that you gain the least from seeing live in a lot of respects. But they're also going to be able to move it around. They're going to be able to do more live events in more venues all over, I mean, North America and the world. And it's also going to mean that Hearthstone gets specific, special focus. If WCS and HGC and WoW Arena and Overwatch all come to the conclusion at the same time, you split all the attention across those different games, whereas Hearthstone is going to be off in its own place in, you know, the early winter, January, February, whatever, by itself, excluded, but also, in a way, given more attention by virtue of being on its own.
Yeah, and we've talked, I know Chris, you and I have talked about this before, about the presentation of Hearthstone compared to all of the other esports. You think of all the other esports at Blizzard outside of Hearthstone, the presentation is and should be different. You shouldn't have shoutcasters talking a mile a minute, screaming at the top of their lungs because someone top decked
Northshire
Cleric.
What are you saying, Garrett?
I was saying that you're doing a good job.
I appreciate
you're not
that.
Doing
you.
That. I mean, certainly there's reasons to get excited, and that even extends to the crowd. I mean, you can look at what they have for a Hearthstone stage, and it looks completely different from anything that's happening for Heroes, for Overwatch, for StarCraft. But it's equally as awesome, and it completely fits what's happening for Hearthstone. So if what we end up with is BlizzCon next year with no Hearthstone finals because theirs happens on their own time, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we could have used another day at BlizzCon.
Like, that,
I mean,
too.
It's just,
that, too.
I'm just, you know,
hey, a round of applause. How many people want a third day of BlizzCon?
Come on. But yeah, I mean, like Kevin was saying, I think having just a special day to focus just on Hearthstone is very, very important, because you guys can just look at your schedules right now, and you'll see that a lot of stuff overlaps, a lot of stuff I want to see overlaps with each other. So I'm literally like running from like one stage to the other, or I'm just missing all of one, and that really takes away from all of us who like multiple Blizzard esports. So it's an excellent idea. I'm glad they're doing it. And just one last note, you know, the storyline issue that we've had with a lot of people have been complaining about, just seeing different people at different championships, I have no idea who this guy is type of thing. I think going into the finals, Blizzard's done a great job at for us getting to know the top eight. I feel like I know the top eight better than I have ever known.
Their hype videos have been fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Their hype videos have been
really
awesome.
I thought I have become jaded on hype videos, but what the Hearthstone team have been putting out for Hearthstone so they can tell the stories of these relatively unknown players.
Exactly.
It's great. And
we
it
all
really
know who
helps.
Captain America is, right? Right? Okay. And that's all them, right? And so I think the new season coming up in 2017, they've come up with a system where we'll get a chance to see familiar faces at each of the finals too, the season finals. And they'll build a storyline, kind of what we saw with Handsome Guy, and it's because the Asian region did a completely different thing than the EU region and the American region. So I think they're going to converge, and everybody's going to be doing a similar thing, and we'll see possible multiple champions.
Well, you know, being a casual player and actually taking part in helping out with some of the preliminaries, it's really cool to see these casual players coming into these places where these events are taking place outside of BlizzCon, and they're like, oh man, I got to see Dog play, and like, I didn't even know like there were pro Hearthstone players. Like, not me, but I'm saying I'm talking to people, and they're finally understanding the professional scene because it's outside of BlizzCon, because it's taking place in these comic book stores, in these Apple stores, places where regular people can go in and even play in these tournaments and possibly get in. And I think that's a good thing for the casual players to see that scene, and then they start to follow it and they get into it, and they're like you guys said, they're learning the people that are now at BlizzCon, and they know them.
Well, and the Fireside Gathering program and all the grassroots stuff that Blizzard has done with Hearthstone Esports is phenomenal. We actually just heard not too long ago, we were talking about it on the show, that Blizzard's now sending representatives to Fireside Gatherings outside of Southern California. Like, they're so all in on the idea of this game not being about stages and stadiums and, you know, 40,000 people screaming in an arena. They want the intimate visibility where you're up close and personal, just like this. Like you said, reach out and touch them, right? That makes such a huge difference to the experience. Guys, I need a minute.
Intimacy, baby. Intimacy.
So do I. No, you're completely right. We talk about on the Angry Chicken all the time, and this gets us two types of emails. One, from people who hate Magic Gathering and never want us to mention it. And two, from people who are so into it that they're giving us an email that's so detailed into what we were talking about that we can't actually use it on the show because it goes too deep. But we talk all the time about what they can take away from other existing card games. And a lot of people, like, the conversation always naturally shifts to what mechanics they can take from existing card games and bring into the mechanics of Hearthstone. And I think that what they really should be looking at is what they're already looking at, which is the in-person events that are happening. They're grassroots things like the Fireside Gatherings. Because I help host a Fireside back home in Florida multiple times a year with a couple people in the audience right now. Florida Fireside, where are you at? But and it's been way better this year. Their outreach has been noticeably bumped up from years past.
Well, I mean, I think back on it, and I used to run for years a Barcraft back when that was a big deal for StarCraft, and the accessibility of the esports scene when you had those sorts of in-person moments. I mean, there were people who had no idea what an esport was at all, and all of a sudden they're interested, they're following it, they're showing up because it's a totally different experience, right? The ability to sit and watch Twitch at home is great. But it doesn't really sell you on the community that exists around the game. And if there's a game in the Blizzard library right now that really fosters this idea that you should be playing it in person with your friends, it's a better experience. I beat somebody in a, you know, best of five last night. It was the best thing that's happened all week. But, like, it's more fun to play this game with your friends. It's more fun to watch this game with your friends. And if Blizzard is going to go all in on the idea that this game belongs at the table, where you can see your opponent face-to-face, where you can see your friends face-to-face, I think that's the best possible outcome. And I'm really glad that they've gone that direction with the esports side as well.
Well, on top of that, I mean, on top of that with the Firesides, I mean, Gary was there, and Amy obviously was organizing the one in Florida. They bring the Firesides actually to the competitive events. So there was an actual qualifier that was in tandem with the Fireside. So I think they're going even an extra level and trying to fuse, like, the casual Hearthstone with the competitive Hearthstone. I think that's really, really smart.
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing. So to shift gears, gentlemen, we're in the final few hours where we can be completely wrong about what we think they're going to be announcing at BlizzCon tomorrow. So if it's okay with the audience, I'd like to be completely wrong. So starting with Josh, because Josh has been nice and polite.
You're ready for the YouTube videos, right?
Josh, like, what we've been getting gadgets and teasers. All yeah. I want to do is talk in a really bad goblin voice. What are they giving us tomorrow?
All right, so I got two. So my last episode of Happy Hearthstone, I actually did a predictions episode where all the past hosts called in and gave their predictions. So I'm going to steal one of them and write it off as my own because it was.
Oh,
this
brilliant. Doesn't count. This all doesn't right. count, everyone.
Okay. All right. Cops versus robbers. So, because it's all the bank heist thing, there's going to be robber cards that are all about breaking the rules. So they do things that cards shouldn't be able to do. And then cop cards come in, and if you're breaking the rules when they're on the board, they punish you for it or do something special. I thought that was a brilliant idea that goes with the bank heist.
Ooh, I want that.
That's
I really want that.
But for my own prediction, I'm just dreaming big. My heart just wants to believe. I want co-op PvE. I want a bank heist where me and a buddy are cracking through gadgets and vaults and stealing out. That's what I want.
Okay.
I like your dreams, Josh. They're happy dreams. Chris, what about you?
Well, I mean, I was going to give your standard, you know, for priest, 4-mana, 7-7, going to be, but then I saw there was some, you know, Finjitsu that was in some of these gadgets and things, so
yeah.
There's obviously some kind of ninja Murloc that's going to be happening somewhere.
Oh, God, yes.
Right?
Sign me up.
Right? Wait, do you think Monk?
Monk.
No.
All right, now we're going a little too crazy.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You guys have gone off the deep end here.
So far, when Team 5 says they are not working on something, they mean it. And they have said multiple times they are not working on a new class.
I believe them.
That's not happening.
They're very honest. They're like, tournament mode? No, it's not. Truly, honestly, guys, it's not happening.
Exactly. So I'm thinking a ninja murloc for a shaman. And... Okay. I mean, the word is priest. This is going to be ridiculous. So
yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Let's go 4/4 two drop for a priest. Something like that.
And you get to draw a card.
That would make it OP, right?
Yeah. I'd be down. All right. So your prediction is your run of the mill expansion and priest is going to be good.
Yes, it's priest. It's finally priest's turn. All right. They've never had a turn. So.
All right, Kevin.
Well, I mean, I think we've all seen all the obvious leak stuff, so I don't really want to get into that. I think that this is going to be the BlizzCon where they really put their foot down about what the goal is in terms of growing the game in terms of features and how they're going to play with Standard and the core experience that is Hearthstone. So we're going to be wrong, right? We're here to be wrong. My wrong prediction is that we're going to see a full rework of ranked Hearthstone tomorrow morning.
Wow. That's a bold claim.
You said be wrong, man. I'm all in.
He went all in on his wrong.
All right, well, I mean, if I'm going all in,
no
on my
one
wrong,
gets wrong better than me.
If I'm going all in on my wrong, it's that we're going to finally get loot cards in Hearthstone.
It's not going to happen.
I haven't given up on that. Except I seriously think they could bring it back, but it shouldn't give loot for WoW. It should give cosmetic rewards for Hearthstone. I would love to see something like that.
It's not a bad idea, but it's also probably wrong.
Yeah, you're right. Everything we said, we're here to be wrong. We're here to be wrong. Espo, how would you like to be wrong?
All right, so I'm going to be wrong, and I'm going to say they're going to bring raids to Hearthstone. Where, like Josh said, PvE with your buddies. You know, you build some decks, you go in, you battle against a boss. You know, you're in there having fun. And that's my wrong prediction. It's going to be
good man.
It's going to be raids. You're going to be able to raid, and possibly better new player experience, so they don't have to go through the tutorial at a fireside gathering and sit in the corner by themselves and play while everyone else enjoys the fireside gathering.
I forgot. There's one more I was actually predicting was. Maybe level 60 for all of the heroes, and
whoa,
maybe a different element for, you know, instead of golden, maybe platinum.
It's platinum,
heroes.
And the animation is even faster, yeah. So it triggers seizures.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's gonna be like that one episode of Pokemon.
I would pay for it. Not pay for it. I would grind for it.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah.
Platinum.
What do we, there's a reference, and the Gadgets and Gazette teasers that have been coming out, there's been reference to red mana. What the heck do we think red mana is? That's got to be a new mechanic, right? It's got to be something coming.
So the first natural thing is like rage, because that's from Warcraft or World of Warcraft 2.
Yeah, but they specifically call it mana, and we don't even really see mana in a physical form all that often. Up until recently in Legion, there's actually, you see, like, mana crystals and stuff.
The only thing that kind of makes sense would be something similar to, like, locked mana crystals. But you have to pay for it somehow or something to get it back. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I would really like to see, and I don't even know how they would do it, but some creative way beyond secrets to where you can mess with your opponent on their turn. And that was the first thing that popped in my head with red mana. I'm like, oh, what if it's mana that you can only use on your opponent's turn? I'm probably wrong, by the way. Probably wrong. But wouldn't that be cool?
That would be
amazing. It's a big complaint, right? Obviously, with Hearthstone.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I don't necessarily look at it as a complaint, but I used to. When I first started playing Hearthstone, not being able to do anything on my opponent's turn was a big kind of... thorn in my side, but now that I understand the goal of Hearthstone more, I'm completely okay with it, and I don't really see it as a complaint, but if they came up with an elegant Hearthstone way to do it, I'd be very excited to see what that would be.
I mean, if it's going to be anything, though, I think it's going to be a way for them to play with the core concept of resources, right? The game, since its inception, has had health, mana, cards. There hasn't been a lot of variation.
Yeah,
every new mechanic is like, it's a new way to get battle cries, death rattles, like it's something that happens within the context of a single card.
Mm-hmm.
If they could come back and say, all right, you're going to generate red mana crystals when you play these cards, and now you have cards that have secondary costs where they activate on a variable level using a secondary resource. Like, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. It's a big shift, but maybe the game is ready for a big shift.
Maybe it. I mean, that would. That's table flipping madness, right? Yeah, but you're absolutely right.
We were trying to be wrong.
Exactly.
The crowd's like, wrong.
Wrong. Wrong. If we had a Twitch chat right now, that is exactly what would be happening. Yeah, just a fail face, constantly. Constantly. Well, I'm going to just ask Ro a question. Does this mic work? If anyone in the audience would like to ask us to be wrong, or you have any questions, or you want to just talk Hearthstone, come on up. Don't be shy. Anyone? Come on, I see listeners of the Angry Chicken. You're used to doing this on Skype. Let's do this. First one up. Hello, Blizz Army.
All right, can everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone can hear me now. We've talked before about interrupts, magic. We were talking about building on things earlier from inception and learning mistakes. And I think that instead of taking the Nerf bat, that if we included some of the things magic learned, like incense, interrupts, that you'd probably bring some of the pros back. I think there's a whole circular event that happens. If you can't interrupt anything the opponent does, mostly you run into Jenkins, Jenkins, buff, Jenkins, done. I think there's a lot of RNG to Hearthstone and a lot of finishers that you can't do anything about. So you can play a perfect game, perfectly on curve, came up with the best idea ever for Shaman, and that person just plays Jenkins at the wrong time.
I mean, this
done.
Is sounding like a very personal vendetta. I mean, I'm going to be honest here, Blizz Army.
Well, okay, but I mean, he's got a point, right?
No, he's absolutely right.
I think there's a strong argument to be made that, like, what's pop quiz? We can do some trivia up here. What's the least used mechanic in Hearthstone?
The entire class of priest.
Besides that,
healing, because it's on
Inspire.
Priest.
The least used mechanic in the game is counter. It exists on one card on Counterspell. That's the only time it's ever been used. There's a strong argument to be made that you could take that mechanic and apply it to battle cries or to weapons or to any number of things where you could make it into something that now involves counterplay. And counterplay is arguably the biggest weakness in the game right now. It's a place where there's a lot of room for the game to grow. I think back to stuff like Lotheb and think, obviously, too good, right? And in terms of its effect on the game. Mandatory in many ways. Yeah. But take that and make it a tech choice. Take that and make it something where now playing to counter your opponent is actually a viable condition for winning a game.
Yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment. And I think they've put these artificial restrictions on themselves design-wise because of the fact that we don't have counterplay too. So charge is one of the things recently that you saw. That they had to remove charge because it's not interactive in the end or just the general combo type of deck that's been frowned upon, and we know OTK decks have been a big part of other TCGs in the past, and I think it should be a big part of Hearthstone too. So adding counter mechanics and making that a lot more popular will allow them to feel okay about allowing OTK decks to exist.
Right, like OTK itself is not the problem. The problem is that OTK means there's no way to answer it, and as soon as you can answer it, it's not an OTK anymore.
Actually, on top of that, I would love to see more ways just to interact with your opponent in general. So right now, you can basically kill their minions or damage them. But I mean, like, they're targeting all the time. Give you ways to mess with their targeting ability and stuff like that. There's so many different ways like that and with countering that you can just interact with them.
So just ogres? You're not happy with ogres? Okay.
You don't like the 50% to hit mechanic, Josh?
Yeah.
Well, I missed it.
Don't listen to this man.
I agree with all of that. But at the same time, I do think it is important to remember that at a certain point, like, look at Magic and other card games for inspiration, but don't copy it verbatim, because Hearthstone should and needs to be a different game. Otherwise, just go play Magic.
Right, the game has an identity of its own.
It does need to be a different game, but, if we remove a lot of different possibilities, then we end up having the same types of decks, and, that's... Thankfully, we're not in that state exactly right now in Hearthstone, because we do have a combo deck. It might be a two-turn combo deck, but we do have a combo deck right now exists. We have fast decks that exist, and we have control decks that exist. So, but generally speaking, the game, I think a lot of us can agree that they've always designed it to be more of a minion-oriented, mid-range, interaction-on-the-board type of game. And I think that you can go too far with that, for sure.
Next question.
Yeah, so one of the ways that you guys can...
kind of, or not you guys, but the game can be fresh is with new mechanics. We kind of saw that with Discover. So do you think we're going to see a new mechanic introduced tomorrow? And if so, what do you think it is?
I think so. I think
I really hope so.
I think there will be some kind of mechanic that deals with positioning. At least I'm very, very hopeful. Something the chest is definitely gives me some hope, and we've been seeing it in Tavern Brawl a little bit with them trying the chest out there too. But something that
even the one today with Dorothy, the Tavern Brawl that's live right now.
Even Dorothy. So anything that involves that sort of puzzle building on the board, right? We want people to have to solve puzzles on the board and possibly make mistakes, and that will actually result in pro play. It'll result in these great plays that we can talk about. And it's like, oh my god, that was such a sensational play, instead of RNG this or RNG that. You know, that's the big thing.
Yeah, we saw it in Karazhan a lot with the auras, and we saw it in the chess event where positioning was huge. And people were like, oh, man, like, I really felt like I was in control. And when I did make a mistake, it was totally my fault. It wasn't that the other person just played, like, a card that totally threw me off. I actually made a mistake and lost that match, and I know where I could go back, position better, and play better. And I think they're going to do something in this expansion with either positioning or that aura concept, like Garrett said, with Dorothy.
Oh, yeah, there's a reason that when chess was the Tavern Brawl, they were the longest Hearthstone turns of my life. Because it introduced a completely new way to play that had never been in the game before. And yes, I had experienced it a few weeks earlier when that Wing of Karazhan came out, but playing against another opponent who could think and make decisions on their own, not based on an algorithm, really just took the whole game and just turned it over.
Yeah, so I mean, I think historically, we are set up for a new mechanic, because if you go back and you look at every expansion that's ever been introduced, we had the Death Rattle expansion, we had a new tribe expansion, we've had a very Battlecry-centric expansion, we've had expansions that have played with each individual mechanic. I mean, Discover, fundamentally, was let's mess with Battlecries. We had an expansion that pushed a mechanic that was specifically designed to integrate with hero powers. Like, every part of the game has been touched on in some way, so unless they're just going to, I mean, fundamentally re-release cards or continue to go down the exact same path that we're already on and just tweak health and mana or health and attack values, we're in a place where we need a new mechanic for the game to look different than it did 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, I would love to see more stuff that asks new questions of your opponent. What if you could change your opponent's hero power and now they can't go into the game planning on toteming their way through it or life tapping their way through it? Like, there's lots of things they could do, and I think it's all about how can they introduce new types of counterplay?
Well said. Next question.
Test. All right, so... Sorry, that's loud. All right, so the... Bringing up Magic the Gathering's already been broken into. Previous card games of that such. Question for each of you. Knowing that Blizzard is as successful as it is, when you look at the power curve, not mechanics... not in any, but historically, power curves of those type of games that this represents. Are you thinking that we're doing a good job not getting too powerful or too weak too quick? And moving forward, are you guys happy with the power that current cards are at?
Yeah, so I'm really happy. The thing I've been seeing them do, especially in like Karazhan, was they release one really powerful card that's meant to tell you, hey, this is how we want this class played right now. Like Malkazar's Imp. Build a deck around this. It's not like a card in such a way, it's not just powerful than anything else that's come out before. It's so powerful that it forces you to try something new. And I think that's a cool way to do it.
In terms of power creep, because that's pretty much where we're talking about here, I think that it's not crazy bad right now. But it's definitely headed in that direction. And the difference between Hearthstone and the other TCGs like Magic or whatnot is we're limited to 30 health. Like, 7 out of the 9 classes are limited to 30 health. And 30 health is very, very little. So when we're starting to make standard, say, 1 drops, like 5 stats, or, I mean, even 4 stats, 2-2, like 1 drop, where we're seeing, you know, 3 drops be 3-4 and continually getting higher and higher and higher and more powerful and more powerful, I mean, it's going to get... insane. You know, like, power creep is a big problem, and I'm all for big nerfs, like, because I think there are some great cards that aren't being played, like, well-designed cards that are not being played, and they're not being played just because they continually make just powerful cards each expansion just to sell them. I mean, that's a smart thing to do business-wise.
Yeah, I'm going to echo what both of you said. I think one of the best things that happened at the beginning of the year when we got Old Gods and we got the introduction of Standard was you looked at what cards were leaving and what cards were entering, and you could see where they were making adjustments. Also in the cards that were staying but that got altered or changed or nerfed or whatever. There's nothing in Old... unless you're going up against Shaman a lot, I'm sure... Blizz Army would disagree with me, but for the most part across the board, there's nothing in Karazhan, there's nothing in Old Gods that stands up to some of the worst offenders from Naxxramas. And it seemed clear to me that Team 5 noticed that and that everything that came in 2016 had that in mind, that they were trying to almost reverse power creep to kind of level the playing field back out, because we did get some slower cards, some less powerful cards. I mean, we didn't get a new version of Piloted Shredder. We didn't get a new version of Dr. Boom.
It's mostly the stats, because, I mean, we all remember when one, like, one drops, right? We remember when Mana Worm was just like, wow, that's what made Mage. That kind of helped balance Mage out, because they had such a powerful one drop. And same with Priest, right? And even Warlock with the Void, you know, the Voidwalker. But now we're starting to see that in every single class. And that's where... I think we're starting to see power creep across the board instead of enhancing a particular class because they're deficient in other ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Like, I actually don't think that power creep has been a serious problem ever since they introduced Standard. If anything, I think to Josh's point from earlier, they're really pushing new archetypes and synergies in a way that says, we're never going to put out a card that defines a class or a meta. It's not going to happen. Arguably, there's been one or two offenders in the last little while, but outside of the really obvious issues with particular classes and the synergies that they've created over time, there's no one card that broke the game. We don't have one. We have a series of things that have emerged over the course of 4 and 5 expansions. As soon as Grand Tournament, which was the least impactful expansion of all time, rotates, Shaman probably isn't a thing anymore, as insane as that is to say out loud. And I really honestly believe that as Blizzard continues to add new cards to the pool, they're not saying, add more attack, add more health. They're saying, add more depth, add more counterplay. Give classes new ways to play. Because, I mean, Beast Druid, not great, but they've really opened up the opportunity to play Druid in a way that isn't ramp out threats ahead of curve. They've opened up Discard Warlock. They've opened up, Secrets Hunter in a way that really wasn't ever viable before.
And Shaman was even part of that opening up that you're talking about. It's just been so long now, and we're sick of losing to it.
Yeah, and the synergy is just too much. It's too much, right? Yeah. And we were really unaware of how powerful Shaman was because we went back and saw good cards, but we didn't see the pattern that was becoming apparent until it was far too late.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the synergy, just one point we'll get, but the synergy is, I think, one thing that they've absolutely done great with.
Right, they've nailed releases. Synergy.
Like I said, it's not like a super big problem right now, but I'm just kind of like looking further on, and the sandbox is very small for Hearthstone. You know, until I think eventually they will introduce cards that do add to health, but right now the sandbox is still only 30 health. So they have to be really, really careful about that. And I think they are slowing down with it, but they had already set a precedent, and Standard does help with that. You're right.
Well, and to be fair, it's 30 health for now. That's something that can change too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That would blow my mind. Espo.
Well, I have to agree with all you guys. I mean, they've done a great job keeping it balanced, and I think the introduction of Standard has really kept that on an even keel also. And going back to my earlier statement where I said they're listening to us a lot more, they're listening to fans a lot more, I think that's also helping.
Well said.
So you guys have mentioned a whole lot about kind of how the game is expanding, there's new cards coming, and just in general, Standard is kind of evolving, especially with the implementation of ACT. With that in mind, do you guys think at any point that they'll kind of establish a more of a, as opposed to like the classic Standard set, which includes the last few rotations plus classic cards, that they'll create a broader sample pool, which as cards rotate in and out of circulation, they will fall within this realm that are still playable, even though they're within an expired set, so to speak?
I had a hard time kind of absorbing all of that you said. One more time, sorry.
But, all right, so, one more time. On the mic. So, for example, Grand Tournament's going to rotate out. A card like Jessica Trueheart is no longer going to be viable in Standard. Do you think they'll create a pool for where cards like, say, we'll call it Lotheb, Jessica Trueheart fall in play that can still be used in Standard, and they are tagged with a specific title that puts them within that Standard realm, even though they're not part of the greater pool? Like, select specific cards from sets that get rotated out, go into this pool.
Okay, so basically adding them to the basic set, more or less. Okay, yeah. We've talked about this on Angry Chicken a lot of times. I never want to rule anything out entirely, and this is actually one of the things I'm really excited to see if there's mention of it either tomorrow or this weekend or next year with the new Standard rotation. Because I think that could be really interesting, because you and I have talked off air before how it almost seems like the cards that are in the basic set more or less are, it's arbitrary that those are the cards. They just happen to be first. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you do look at them, yes, a lot of them are cards that are, that define the class. I mean, what is a mage without Frostbolt? What is a shaman without Lightning Bolt? But then there's others that are just like, well, why? Just because they were there first, they get to stay? And what about old Murkai? So if old Murkai can leave Basic, I think other cards can join Basic. Whether or not we're going to see that in the near future, I'm not so sure.
I would love to see cards that are super unique, like Justicar, Trueheart, put into Classic, because it would be really weird to reprint that, but with like different stats or something. And if it's such an important part of so many strategies, I would love to see cards like that.
Yeah, if they're going to set the precedent to keep cards, why not keep keeping cards?
Well, yeah. I think they feel like they can't make any mistakes, you know, if they add and maybe remove from the Classic set. So I guess, what do you guys think about them just having more of a variable Classic set? Is that okay?
I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
Honestly, I don't think it'll happen. And the only reason I don't think it will happen is because Blizzard has really kind of made it clear that they want Standard to be reflective of, to your point from earlier, the new player experience. They want people to be able to come in and not need to know what cards or what meta existed prior to the current Standard rotation. It makes more sense in a lot of ways, frankly, for them to remove things from the existing Basic and Classic sets and say, you know what? We're trying actively to make it so that we can make games with Mage feel less like your entire strategy has to revolve around throwing fireballs into your opponent's face. They don't want to nerf stuff. They don't want to change stuff. I get that. They want to keep the core identity of these classes intact. But you can do that by saying, okay, we're going to print something new into Standard or into a rotational set that takes the place of this card that we just fundamentally have decided, like, how do you ever solve Freeze Mage while Ice Lance exists? Maybe eventually you say, you know what? Ice Lance is bad for the game. And we're not going to delete this card. We're not going to change this card. We're just going to pick it up out of Classic and drop it into GVG and say, problem solved. The card still exists. It's still in Wild. Because that's one of the big complaints, frankly, that we hear all the time about changing and nerfing cards, is the Wild experience is immediately changed, and often in a bad way, by taking old cards and making them different.
Yeah, however, I kind of want Wild to be balanced as well.
I agree. And I mean, I think Wild needs to be balanced. But I think that when they move cards around, that's indicative of a card that maybe doesn't have major implications for Wild balance, but does in Standard.
Okay, well
said. Or just limits design space, right? And that's why they change things, is when they've limited their design space. The Classic set is a massive design space limitation.
Yeah, you're right, and that's why I think I'd like to see stuff added to it. But you're absolutely on point that if they're concerned about new players, that is something to be concerned about. So, anyways, we need to wrap it up. If you are a Heroes of the Storm fan, make sure you stick around for the Heroes of the Storm panel. But let's go down, and Josh, where can everyone find you?
Yeah, you can find me on GameDiplomat.com, or just search the iTunes Store or Google Play or whatever for Happy Hearthstone.
Fantastic. Chris?
You can find me with anything that ends in Chanman V, basically. So my Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all ending in Chanman V. And you can find my podcast, Value Town, on iTunes and Google Music Podcast also.
Kevin?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping there's at least a handful of people in the crowd who have heard of Well Met. And I would hope that people will continue to listen to that show. If you're interested in my content personally, follow me on Twitter at Lack of Realism.
Espo?
Legendoftheinnkeeper.com. I do have a Twitter. It's XCMTBGamer.
I'm a cross country.
Say that five times fast.
Cross country mountain bike gamer. So there you
Flows
go.
Flows off the tongue.
Yeah, just right off. But Legend
is there a vowel in that? Is there a vowel in that somewhere?
They're supposed to be, but they're invisible.
Gotcha.
Nice. And you can find The Angry Chicken, which I am a part of, over on amove.tv. That's AMOVE.TV. And if you type /TAC, it'll take you right to The Angry Chicken. So go check that out. Thank you, all of you, for watching. Huge thanks to the talented panel I've been set with. And stick around for the Heroes of the Storm panel.
Good job, team.
And a big round of applause for the whole Con Before the Storm staff for putting
this
together.
Yes, they are awesome.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from World of Podcasts and Con Before the Storm. This podcast was a production of and is copyright by D20 Creative Alliance. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted without written consent from D20 Creative Alliance. The views and opinions expressed are those of the individual participants and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of D20 Creative Alliance. To learn more about World of Podcasts or Con Before the Storm, go to conbeforestorm.com.
All right, that was the panel. Thank you very much for listening to the whole thing and sticking around. I wanted to thank Con Before the Storm again and also all the panelists I was with. Again, that was Garrett from the Angry Chicken, who moderated, Chris from Value Town, Espo from Legend of the Innkeeper, and Kevin from Well Met. Again, I'll put links to all their shows in the show notes. You should definitely go listen to them if you aren't already. So this will be our last BlizzCon special episode. Like I mentioned, in 2 weeks, we'll be back with our regular show formats. We'll be doing a deck battle first, so be sure to come back for that and talk about some of the revealed cards. It should be fun. But until then, thanks again for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.